The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the radio show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my left, from the Department of Philosophy, it's Professor Beth Oljar.
Good to be here.
Thanks for coming. I see how you coordinated your marker, post-it note, and shirt today, which is pretty hardcore because I know how much you love office supplies.
Well, the marker was because the meeting that I was at was in a room that had a whiteboard, and I failed to make an agenda for the meeting, so I had to write one on the board.
I see.
Yeah.
But everything's blue. It's quite nice.
My shirt is actually green or teal.
Is it really?
It's in the range.
It's in the spectrum. Okay. I'm bad at guessing the colors. Dan is blue, but not feeling blue, I'm assuming. You're smiling. It's beautiful weather outside, right?
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm already sugared up and caffeined up.
There's not much else, Diane.
What could possibly go wrong?
And I would have said fatted up because these donuts are soaked in oil, but hey, so delicious.
What's cholesterol but a number?
So thanks to Diane for bringing the donuts and cider. It's definitely fall in southeastern Michigan, listeners. Absolutely, positively. What are you up to this weekend for your autumnal celebrations?
Oh. Well, tomorrow the curling club actually opens. We have to go set up.
Great.
So we're going to have ice in a week. I'm excited. So I already started going to the chiropractor, yoga, and masseuse to get my legs ready to go on the ice after a brutal summer. So
yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's it. And then tomorrow night, going to Redford Theater, I think, to watch The Wolfman.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I saw in the paper.
It
feels like it was just yesterday that we were in Sochi watching the curlers, you know?
Yes.
Feels like just yesterday. Professor Dave Chow is here from the College for Creative Studies.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
Good to have you here, Dave. How are things?
A little frazzled, but could be better.
Why is that? Midterm.
Oh, yeah, midterm, and not to mention the incinerator finally got slapped down for no more emissions.
Yeah,
so
right.
No more stink. Remember last year, I come like, downtown smells like fish. So supposedly that's where it came from.
I think it was tertiary amines that you guys were all taking part in, and it's not pretty. Not pretty at all.
It was bad.
It was just turned off the other day.
That's something along that line. So they're getting fined heavily for it.
That's a good thing.
It should be good.
I was about to say something to Professor Evans, like, how do things smell on your side of the table? Everything smells wonderful because of the donuts and the cider. How are you doing,
Kendra? That's true. It's always a pleasant exit from chemistry with regard to odor.
And it used to be so much worse. Right now, it actually is pretty good. But
that is true.
There is still an odor.
Thank goodness.
Well, should you have become a biologist then? Or?
Oh, no. Biology is far more smelly than chemistry.
Okay.
Far more. I mean, they're using chemicals in biology, it turns out.
It's true.
And their chemicals they choose to use, like formaldehyde. I mean, what is worse than formaldehyde? Oh. And what?
Formalin. I remember when I was taking anatomy.
Yeah. They're very, very similarly related.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And I had to dissect the body, and it was really cool.
The strongest smell memory I have from my undergraduate days was walking into biology and smelling the human anatomy lab. And it's still to this day, I walk in that building and that's what I smell. And like, not even the chem building has a stronger memory in my mind. We can keep going with smells, Professor Jason Roach, Communication Studies.
I think we didn't want to go there with him. So.
I don't know.
You know, how does celluloid smell when it's been printed?
See, I knew that was where he was.
Oh, Jason, how are you doing?
Excellent. How about you?
Just fine.
Nice.
Everything's.
This is National Chemical Week, isn't it?
This is National Chemistry Week. I was going to say happy end of National Chemistry Week. Yes.
So why? Yeah. I have a chemistry question, and I think actually you guys have answered it before, and I can't remember the answer. When you compare like 7-Up or Sprite or some clear soda to like Diet Coke. When you're pouring them in the glass, why does it take so much longer for the foam on the dark brown sodas to evaporate as opposed to the clear ones?
Is it always just the dark brown, or is it because you specifically said diet?
Coke, regular Coke, regular Dr. Pepper. Yeah, so it's color, actually.
Well, the flavor is a balance between the acid that's added, the carbonic acid, which provides – that results in the carbonation. Foam. And the sugar. So it depends on how much sugar is added. The more sugar that's added, the more acid we have to add so that it doesn't taste extra sweet. So I presume there must be – some additional carbonation in the cola, the brown sodas, as you call
that
them.
That explanation just left footprints on my forehead as it ran right over. Yeah, because
the acid carbonation thing would seem to apply just as much to like my orange soda or 7-Up or Sprite or something.
They don't all have the same amount of the carbonic acid, though.
Different rates of
And I would that say that sense. Anything colored beyond clear has other things added to it that give it that color.
Phosphoric acid, caramel. Yep.
Plus emulsifiers to get all those dyes to dissolve. That's the whole thing about, we heard a few years ago, they were spraying the pillows with brominated vegetable oil because it's inflammable and also it causes cancer. So it has a good thing and a bad thing.
I never heard
but
of
that's
that.
The stuff they add to any green, yellow, or orange, or Gatorade. Purple soda so that actually dissolves the colors.
One of your students told me that was
controversial about the cancer-causing abilities of the brominated vegetable oil. It was what was removed from Gatorade recently.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So it was until recently
in Gatorade.
Thanks
to a highly orchestrated campaign by the soda manufacturers.
That's and one of your students told me that Splenda is carcinogenic.
We should talk about Splenda some other time.
Oh, God. All things
Nothing
controversy.
That tastes good.
It's good for
you. It's good for you. That's the issue.
Except for the donuts.
Or except for those good. Donuts.
Yeah. Like made diabetics' life easier.
Yes. Yes,
artificial sweeteners come a long way.
Yes, it has. It does no longer directly causes cancer like saccharin, which for the record is still on the market, is sweet and low. But it sort of indirectly
but sucralose
causes.
Sucralose
could be an issue. Could be an issue.
I hate you and everything your discipline stands for.
To my direct right. From the Department of Retired. And
it's all his fault.
We are sorry to bring up the department of very soon to be departing us. It's Professor Diane Manica. Yeah.
And only departing by location.
That's right.
Not body.
That's right.
But yes, I'm going to the Arizona studio.
Oh, you'll have to open the home office for us in Glendale, Coast. Right?
No, Scottsdale.
Scottsdale. Mm-hmm. Glendale's mixed up.
No, there is a Glendale in Arizona. There is a Glendale.
Okay.
In Arizona.
Okay, never mind.
Gotcha.
Geography bath over there.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I'm actually leaving Wednesday morning.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
And this is the only comment I'll make for now. Yesterday morning when it was 37 degrees here, when I woke
it's
up.
A Canadian summer.
It was 66 in Scottsdale, same hour.
Well, it'll be 66 in Detroit tomorrow, so enjoy that while you still can.
Probably
cold.
Be 88 in Scottsdale.
Oh, my gosh. Well, folks.
But it's certainly a pleasure to be here, and I'll be calling in.
That would be fantastic. Yep. We have our headphones now. We're going to have you in when we can, Diane.
Okay, good.
Folks, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you win one of our prizes. And if you don't stump the panel, you win one of our prizes. We've got new prizes. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp. You can tweet at us using @AskTheProfUDM or #AskTheProfUDM on Twitter or find us on Facebook. I know from time to time you ask for holiday questions, says this question writer. I have no idea what sort of lead time you need, 1, 2, 3, now, for the questions in order to make them timely for broadcast, but here are my questions based on one of my most favorite holidays, Halloween. They're not usable for this year. Feel free to stockpile them for next year. We'll put them in the archive. How about we just use them now? Frank Burrows of Valencia, California.
Hi, Frank.
Frank, I'm glad to hear they're from you because I would have suspected they came from our moderator.
That is true.
Barry
that is
just
true.
Got to Halloween.
May just have a little bit of a bug about Halloween, but we'll see how well you guys do with these Halloween trivia bites.
Well, I feel that way about Christmas. I feel about Christmas the way you do about Halloween.
Okay, that's cool. We can get together and watch Nightmare Before Christmas when we want to.
Meyer has actually started already putting out their Christmas. And I'm constitutionally incapable of going into a store and not looking at Christmas decorations if they're there. I literally cannot do it. It's so terrible.
I'm totally with you. And I've been listening to Christmas music since July. And I stopped in April.
I still have my
Christmas
lights
music while grading final papers because it's the only way I can not shoot myself in the head.
It's December, sure, that's fine.
Should we just do like a remote from Bronner's or something like that?
Well, that's a great idea.
What a great
Kendra's
idea.
Super excited.
Oh, no.
You've been to Bronner's, Kendra?
I have been one time. One time.
That's all you need.
Once is enough.
In Frankenmuth. And we went
one time. I've never
been there. I know.
It's so
sacrilege.
Big. The problem is it's down the road from Birch Run, and then you really have to You have to really plan more than one day.
Then you can go have a nap at one of the hotels.
I am going to rein this conversation back to October.
Sorry. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
My bad.
Oh, yeah.
Professors, in Halloween lore, who was Stingy Jack?
He didn't give out any candy.
No.
He was somebody's house I would egg.
Is he the jack?
Probably.
Okay.
He is the jack-o'-lantern. He's the legend, an Irish legend about the jack-o'-lantern. Do you know what happened to Stingy Jack?
He had his eyes smashed, his gourd. He had his nose cut out.
They cut his head off.
Okay, Jack, time for your lobotomy. That's another Calvin and Hobbes reference. No, so Stingy Jack apparently was a very, very mean man. And he supposedly was so mean, I don't quite know how this is possible, but it's legend, you can do whatever you want, that he actually trapped the devil on numerous occasions. He tricked the devil into turning into a coin, but he had a crucifix in his pocket, etc. Long story short, Jack dies, and St. Peter's like, you got to be kidding me, you don't belong here. And the devil's like, uh-uh. And so he holds onto a coal in a turnip and walks the earth as the Jack of the Lantern from now till the end of time. Also known as Will-o'-the-Wisp, which, of course, are methane escapings in the peat bogs of Ireland. You would actually see little flames occur in the bogs.
Okay, this kind makes as much sense as dying, again, South Park, dying Easter eggs on Easter.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It makes absolutely no sense.
It's, and Christ is a cookie,
perhaps we need to rein this conversation back
We need to get back to October. We keep jumping all around the year.
It's because the Pope is actually a rabbit. Which is, the first pope was actually a rabbit, which is why the mitre looks like it does.
Right, exactly.
According to that.
Yep.
Brilliant.
Needless to say, in Ireland and then after Irish emigration in the States, locals started carving scary faces into things to scare off wandering spirits, like Jack of the Lantern.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's another great one. The German side, not less the Celtic side now. What is Belsnickling?
Sounds like it should tickle.
I speak German.
There's something of a tickle in there, isn't there? Belsnickling.
No. It's German in high school. I can't even think of a thing.
It's not a reference to night, is it? Or Eve?
No.
It's reference to something that kids will do.
Trick-or-treating?
It's very, very close to trick-or-treating. But what did they do specifically?
Ring bells?
That would be a great way to do it. No. The kids would go door-to-door wearing costumes. If the adults could guess who they were, they went away empty-handed. But if they stumped the adults, then they would get treats. So this is sort of the Frankish way of doing trick-or-treating versus the Celtic way.
But you could always lie to the adults.
Of course you
could. So it's like Jeopardy.
Lie.
Or you could dress up like something pop culture and stump everybody, you know?
That happened to me when Katy Perry came to my door
a couple
years ago.
Who?
See, there you go.
Katy Perry.
Katy Perry.
The singer.
Right. I'm just kidding. I know.
Oh, okay.
My niece loves her.
I hate you.
There's a lot of hate at this table.
I was going to say, I'm glad I'm sitting over here now.
Maybe it was the sugar in the cider.
How old was the cider?
It's because you guys all can have sugar and I can't.
I should have brought some apples for you.
Don't try to make me feel better. I like being grumpy.
Have a donut.
It's one of those professors, LOL moments.
You have why are black and orange primarily considered traditional Halloween colors?
Orange for a pumpkin?
No.
Most likely,
it'd be safe to say that it wasn't, because pumpkins are only grown in North America.
Most likely due to that Halloween candy that comes out, those weird peanut butter flavored things that are wrapped up in the waxy papers.
Is it because of the leaves changing color?
I think the leaves would be a good guess for orange.
Does black have to do with night?
And black is
the
night dead. Or death. I think that covers all the bases.
Death of summer or death of warm
weather? Death
of
summer.
Okay.
This is technically... Well, we are, I think yesterday or tonight is Diwali, so it's also New Year in India, too, the Festival of Lights. So all this time of year, all over the world, people got stuff going on. In what decade were candy apples primarily given out to Halloween trick-or-treaters in the United States?
The 40s.
Decade? Not the 40s.
50s.
It says the 50s here.
Were they ever even popular? Really? Because... Mm-hmm. Didn't they kind of clump with everything in the bag?
Well, I'm thinking about the transition to individually wrapped candies. At the time when I was trick-or-treating for the first time, early 80s, we still were getting popcorn balls and sandwich bags and, you know, handmade stuff.
I remember getting
something like that. Which is not even on the radar.
But then we got the urban legends about razor blades.
Yes. Which have never actually happened, for the record. Never, ever, ever in recorded history has it happened.
But that was why we're... a lot of people to the fire stations.
Yes, now there's Ebola in all my Snickers and everything's going to be
And the Wayne State graduate?
Oh, yeah. Wayne State grad is the doc in New York,
but he hasn't been in Detroit in how many years?
I mean,
there's always a local connection.
I hope he stays out for at least 21 days.
They have to tell us something at 11 o'clock. Mm-hmm.
Was it Grosse Pointe South he went to?
Yeah, North. Something.
That's right.
I'm waiting to find out he's a biped or something like that and just scare people. I'm like...
Professors, what Halloween staple did the Wonderly Candy Company of Philadelphia invent in the 1880s? Candy corn, absolutely.
Wow.
1880s?
1880s. Wow.
Yeah, it's been around 150 years.
And it keeps like well. It
oh,
well. It's actually not overly sweet.
The ones we're eating were just made in the 1880s. Yes.
I wonder what they tasted like back then.
Probably similar to what we have now, you think? I think.
Probably just a sugary. Just
it's probably like fruitcake. There's like one, they made one batch, right?
And they carved it into little chunks, right?
All the ones that don't get eaten get re-gifted, right? Yeah. Next
what's
Halloween?
What's the dough that they keep reusing?
What? Sourdough.
Sourdough. Mm-hmm. Oh, they have a starter thing. Right, yeah. You use it for 100 years.
That's right.
Yeah. Just
maybe that's
well, but that's because of... yeast.
Yeast strain, yeah. Yeah. That's right.
You look like a bug.
It's a chemistry thing, aren't you?
It is. What other colors do pumpkins come in besides orange?
White.
Yellow.
White.
And purple.
Yellow.
Mm-hmm.
Purple.
There's purple.
Purple.
Green.
There's yellow. There's green. And
there red?
The really, really weird one. There is the red. They call them the Cinderella pumpkins. You could call it brick orange if you wanted to. But there is blue pumpkins out there, too. They're relatively rare. But
what about the great pumpkin?
Smurf
the great
pumpkins. Pumpkins. The great Smurf pumpkins.
All I know is that is as old as my parents, that cartoon, and I can even get my three little boys, 11, 6, and 2, to laugh at that cartoon. It's an absolute classic. Every year, they laugh at the same parts. It's actually really moving to see. I love that cartoon.
Don't we all with the Christmas cartoon, too?
Oh, same thing.
I mean, when Snoopy does his dance.
When he does the dance.
Licks Lucy on the face. I have dog germs!
Dog germs, dog germs, dog germs. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. They think, I mean, it's not funny at all, right? But when they see... the only thing that they've ever touched that harkens back to World War I in The Great Pumpkin, and Snoopy's driving his doghouse as, you know, going after the Red Baron. They think it's funny. I'm like, this actually isn't that funny.
don't discourage them.
I know. I don't want to discourage
them. Don't
ruin
it, man. Come on. Let me kids.
In the movie Halloween, what was the name of the character Jamie Lee Curtis played?
Laurie Strode.
Laurie Strode. And what significance did that have to director John Carpenter?
Oh.
Ex-wife?
No, he was married to Deborah Hill.
Getting close.
Oh,
sister?
Nope. His first girlfriend's name was Laurie Strode. Imagine being that person and then seeing this movie.
No, he was married to Adrian Barbeau at the time. Sorry, I'm wrong. Dun, dun, dun.
I still have never seen the movie Halloween all the way through.
Oh, really?
I'm serious. That's I've good. Seen Halloween 3
That's
more
a scary
times
movie.
Than I've
the
seen
music it. Alone. I mean, it's like with Jaws, yes. right? Where half the terror is
actually
coming
bells, from
that.
Is it?
Yep.
Wait, is it? What's the music for Halloween?
Dun, 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 dun,
yeah.
Dun,
oh, that's dun, 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 dun,
dun, one of my former students is an actress who played what is it called? My Bloody Valentine 3D. Yeah.
Okay,
I saw it.
3D.
Her, you might have seen this then too. Her official credit in the movie was Teen Straggler. So you probably saw her head come flying at you in 3D.
Oh, I love it. I
gotta
love
start
it.
Somewhere.
Awesome. Halloween is recognized as the third biggest adult party day behind these 2 days.
New Year's Eve.
And very soon after.
No, Super Bowl. New Year's Eve.
No, New Year's Eve is
soon
number one.
Soon after that Valentine's Day.
Super a little Bowl. Bit sooner. Super Bowl. Yes,
oh.
Super
you just
Bowl.
Said that. That's not a
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I guess,
oh, party
it's okay.
Day.
I was awarded credit. Went to the right.
That's a special credit. Yes, exactly.
That's what everybody says.
So what was the first candy to be individually wrapped? This is a pretty good...
Tootsie
I mean, cause
Roll.
That's the thing. Tootsie Roll. You knew it right off the top of your head, Diane. That's wonderful.
She was unwrapping
that's
them.
Absolutely wonderful. The little wax paper so it wouldn't stick, you know, and everything.
Twisted on the end.
That really was... late 70s, early 80s when that became something. Like fun size, which I've seen over my 40
some
years
fun
shrink
that
down
is.
To almost nothing,
nothing.
Frankly.
Yeah.
It used to be
and
half
cost,
a candy bar.
Yeah, it was at least, you know, like 2 inches.
There's
right?
nothing fun about tiny, tiny
it's
candy.
It's fun if you're a candy maker making a fortune.
It is if you get inundated with trick-or-treats.
Those haven't changed in size. Mm-hmm. Those are about the same size they've
are
always
you sure?
been.
Those used to be bigger in mine.
Yeah.
I think so.
I don't know.
At least
Matt,
like the Milky Ways and the Snickers.
Oh,
kid.
That is true. That is true. Like getting that full candy bar was like, well, it's a 2x4.
Because now, like Three Musketeers and Milky Way are it's a bite, right? So it's about one square inch instead of, it used to be a good 2 inches for the snack size bars.
That's true. Yep.
And they don't even make dice now.
My favorite thing to get when I was a kid, they don't even make Mars bars anymore. They have Snickers with almond, but it's not the same.
Don't you just pick out on Rolos?
Rolos.
I love Rolos. I remember
those. Aren't those your favorite?
Rolos were one of my favorites, but I think above all, Mars bars, for whatever reason, I like almonds. Yeah. And I'm seeing it happen in my kids. They love Hershey's with almonds now. And I'm like, where did that come from?
But aren't Rolos your favorite now?
I don't think so. I mean, they're up there. They're one of my, you know.
It's probably genetic with your kids.
Yeah, it probably is. They like the cyanide from the almond. That's the thing they love.
Cyanide. With almonds?
Yeah.
Can you build up a tolerance if you eat enough almonds?
Oh, I thought you meant in the candy.
Wait, what's that?
Can you build up a tolerance if you eat enough almonds?
I think that we're talking about tons and tons and tons of almonds. So you could, but it's not recommended.
And this is coming from the man who cuts out the bottom of the pillowcases on his kids' bags, right?
One of the celebrities on this list. This is our last question from Frank Burrows. It's too bad. These were fantastic, Frank. Just too bad we only get to do this once a year. But that's what makes it special. Which of these celebrities was not born on Halloween? So only one of these celebrities was not born on Halloween. John Candy, Dan Rather, Vanilla Ice, Rob Schneider, Jane Pauley, Michael Landon, River Phoenix. Only one of these people was not born on Halloween.
Michael Landon.
No, John he was born on Halloween. John Candy was born on Halloween.
River Phoenix.
That's why like,
River Phoenix was the only one not born on Halloween. And why was he added to the list as the odd one out?
Did he die on Halloween?
He died on Halloween.
At the Viper Room.
That's right. If my wife was here, she would remember it was a defining moment of her young girlhood to have one of her movie hunk stars die of an overdose at a club. That's right. Very, very sad. And while we think about a little bit of sadness, we'll take a break. We are back, and we're going to move on to some local questions, if we can say that. I'm pretty sure this person is in your lab research group, Professor Evans. Casey Rhines sent us in some questions.
She's in my intro to philosophy class, too.
She identifies with Livonia, Michigan, and says, I have four questions for Ask the Professor.
L-Town.
These questions are definitely all over the map, quite literally. How many baguettes are sold in France every year? See if we can solve this mathematically.
Millions.
Then.
How many do you think are in a day?
Thousands.
I would say 20,000. So
20,000 a day?
Times 365?
Times 400. So
half million.
800,000. Let's say 1.6 million.
It's actually bigger than that.
I'm
going to
say 36 million.
I was just guessing.
You're in the right order of magnitude.
Really?
I said it was millions.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm right. Question answered.
Next.
I mean, help us work backwards, Dan, if I tell you. What's reported here is that 10 million baguettes are sold in France annually. So that's how many a day?
Divided by, if you divide by, say, 400 to get per day.
Right.
So that would be 2.5 million. Take two zeros away, so 25,000.
25,000 a day.
Yep. Yeah, I guess
27,397.
I said millions, and I said thousands.
I was right. Zeros.
You were right. That is a lot of bread that spoils after 24 hours. Yep. That's all I've got to say.
They're so good.
Hence the French toast. Mm-hmm. Number one tip I learned from Food Network, never make French toast out of good bread. You make it out of stale bread, and then it holds up, and it's awesome, right?
Yeah.
That's the way you do it.
Raid the bread.
So Food Network is useful.
Yeah. Delicious.
So someone has done research, according to Casey's questions here. This is Professor Evans and I were just talking about the fact that we see very interesting things that are researched in the news all the time, and little of it has to do with HPLC or cross-coupling reactions.
Yes, it turns out it's not Professor Mayo's research or my research or Professor Mayo's research. It's highlighted on CBS News.
Yes, CBS News is often like, kids will eat vegetables if you put cheese on them. Things like that.
That is correct. That is what I heard on the radio, and I thought, why am I doing LCMS research? If I want to be on the radio, I should clearly research whether children like vegetables with or without cheese.
Well, someone did some research, and they used a brand new piece of U.S. currency and double-folded it, meaning they folded it over a seam and then opened it again. How many times until it tore on its own?
Oh,
no way.
So like a brand new $100 bill.
Let's say a brand new $1 bill.
How do you fold a second Dewey a dollar?
Or were they just folding it?
How many double folds would it take for a piece of U.S. currency to tear?
Fold it back.
I would say
fold it back.
50 million.
It is quite a bit less than
150
million.
120 times.
120, it's quite a bit more than 120.
800,000.
1,500.
You're in the right order of magnitude, Professor Chow.
Yes. 1,500. I'm just thinking.
1,700.
I don't. 1,500.
Okay. Who's going to do that many folds?
It's linen. It's paper. It's actually.
Not paper. It's linen.
It's linen, but it's through the Crane Paper Company, America's oldest paper company.
Is it really?
Yes. They're the people. They get their cotton from Levi Strauss.
So they would have been the ones that add the little blue and the red streaks.
Yes, they do. Yes.
Well, but cotton and linen are different plants.
Yeah.
That's right. It says here that you can do it 4,000 times before
that
the piece
seems
will
really
break.
Low.
It seems low.
I thought it'd be like half a million.
Every time.
Yeah,
million.
Maybe that's different. Yeah,
it breaks.
But
it breaks
I think
the fibers.
But are you that the government it? Would fund
yeah,
that
it
research.
It's
a big difference.
Mm-hmm. Because they need to know how long the bill is going to last. Yeah. That's the whole thing with Canada's plastic money, right?
Thank
and
goodness.
Who knows, perhaps they have funded that research.
Yeah, well,
I'm sure they have. They've obviously figured out you know, the lifespan of a dollar bill, right? Before the
yeah. Kendra, we're gonna ask you about these folds, and if it works or not, you get to keep the $100.
Here's your research grant. Here's $100.
Oh, my God.
Oh, we pulled it. It's a dollar.
Does CBS News count as peer-reviewed publication?
I believe not.
Oh, okay.
Aww. Yeah. I believe it's the exact
CBC
opposite of peer that's review.
Right. It is possible that experts in the field were not consulted before the report.
They went to the experts at the DeVry
sources.
Institute.
Unnamed sources.
Professor of Thanksgiving. Yes.
That's right.
What percentage of Americans think the Loch Ness Monster is real?
12.36.
12.36 is close enough. It says here 18% of Americans think the Loch Ness Monster is real.
Non-believers.
I was there. I did not see it.
Oh,
I was certain I would.
Doesn't mean
it doesn't mean
didn't see you, though.
That's right. It doesn't mean that.
But it's probably a higher percentage that think human activities don't contribute to climate change.
Oh, there's all sorts of things that humans will believe if you give them a chance, you know? Mm-hmm.
It's not there.
What was the name? The last question from Casey Rines, a student at UDM and from Livonia, Michigan. What did you say? The L?
L-Town.
L-Town. What was the name of Teddy Roosevelt's pet pig?
Barney.
No.
Oh, Arnold.
It is the same name as a 70s or maybe early 80s sitcom.
Oh.
A female character name.
Maud?
Maud was the name of his pig. And the man who knows all sitcoms saves us.
I'm
going to
go with
Maud.
Mindy. Very good.
Oh!
Angie,
just
actually.
There at the end. Just there at the end. We have to say goodbye, I'm afraid. Professor Oljar.
Goodbye.
Professor Maggio.
Goodbye.
I know you were. Professor Chow.
See ya.
Professor Evans.
Bye-bye.
Professor Roach.
Trick or treat.
And one last time in the studio, Professor Manica.
Bye. See you in Arizona studio.
Sounds good.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu, tweet to us on Twitter at Ask the Professor, or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM, or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.